This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمد عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، so today is the 22nd day of our reading and commentary of this book of Tafsir, Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman. في تفسير كلام المنان, more famously known as the Tafsir of al-Sa'di, by Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, who died in the year 1376 of the Hijra, rahimahullah ta'ala bi rahmatihi al-wasi'a. And today we begin with the Tafsir of the 76th chapter of the Quran, Surah al-Insan. And this name, al-Insan, is mentioned in many of the books of Tafsir and in some of the narrations that you will find from amongst the early scholars of Islam. But the name by which it is known and referred to usually in the books of the Sunnah and in the Ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Surah Hal Ata Ala Al-Insan. Hal Ata Ala Al-Insan. And it is also known as, in some of the early works of Tafsir, Surah Ad-Dahr. And Ad-Dahr refers to time, and all of these three names are taken from the first verse. The Surah Al-Insan, the scholars of Tafsir differed as to whether it is a Makki or Madani Surah. And it is reported from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he said both. He has a narration that says Makki and a narration that says Madani. And from those scholars who also said Madani was his student Mujahid and the famous scholar of Tafsir Qatada. And so a number of them said that it is a Madani Surah. However, other companions such as Ibn al-Zubayr and then some of the scholars who came after them said that it is Makki. And the surah is a surah that speaks, as you will see inshallah ta'ala, a surah that speaks primarily about Jannah and its blessings and its many rewards. And usually those surahs, if that is the entirety or the majority of their subject matter, usually those surahs are Makki in the Quran, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is one of the surahs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite on the day of Friday in the Fajr Salah. He would recite Alif Lam Mim Tanzeel As-Sajda in the first raka'ah, and in the second raka'ah he would recite Surah Al-Insan. And it is because it is a beautiful surah that speaks about many of the blessings and rewards of Jannah that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared for the believers, and it consists of 31 verses.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma ghafir lana wa li shaykhina wa li walidina wa lil hadirin. قال المصنف رحمهم الله في تفسير قوله الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. Was it not a period of time when man was nothing worth mentioning? إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطَفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Verily we have created man from a drop of mingled fluid in order to test him, so we gave him hearing and sight. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Verily, we have shown him the way, whether he is grateful or ungrateful. In this surah, Allah tells us of the beginning, middle, and end of man's existence. He tells us that a long time passed before man existed, when he was nothing and was not even mentioned.
And this is one tafsir, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did there not come upon mankind a time that he was nothing worthy of mention. Some of the scholars of Tafsir said, meaning before his creation, meaning only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows how many years, how many centuries, how many millennia existed before the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Only Allah knows how much time was before Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, because before Adam, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal created the heavens and he created the earth and he created many things subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many years passed before Adam was created, Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. The other position amongst the scholars of tafsir, and it is mentioned in some of the narrations and the books of tafsir, is that it refers to when Adam was created, but before the spirit was blown into him. Because it is known in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah Azza wa Jal, when he first created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and he fashioned him, he left him there standing hollow, meaning without spirit, without life. And that is when we have the narration of Iblis. This is before he disobeyed Allah, because he was in the company of the angels, that Iblis came and he saw this new creation that he'd never seen before, because Adam is the first of his kind, the first human to be created. So he came and he saw a creation that he wasn't familiar with, never seen before. So he began to walk around him and walk and analyze and look. And then he said, هَذَا خَلْقٌ أَجْوَفْ لَا يَتَمَالَكَ. This is a hollow creature. It doesn't have any self-discipline. Meaning that he recognized the weaknesses of humans, that they have very little resolve, very little discipline, that they're very hollow, very shallow. And so this is what he said. So some of the scholars said, this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to, that even before Adam came to life, he spent a number of years just standing there as Allah commanded, before he was even worthy of mention. This is before Allah blows his spirit into him, before Allah commands angels to prostrate for him, to him. And some of the narrations of those scholars say that he stayed like that for 40 years. For 40 years, until Allah Azza wa Jalla blew the spirit into him. Either way, the meaning is the same, that a time came upon people when mankind wasn't even worthy of mention, let alone now that they think that they own the earth and do as they please and they worship who they want and they think that there's no resurrection. There was a time when they weren't even in existence.
Then when it was Allah's will to create man, he created his father Adam from clay. Then he made his offspring from a drop of mingled fluid. That is an insignificant fluid that is regarded as off-putting, in order to test him, thereby to see whether he would pay attention to how he was in his initial state, or he would forget it and become arrogant.
And this is how we reconcile and understand these verses about the creation of humankind. Verses that say that man was created from water and clay, verses that say that he was created from a drop of semen. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, says clay and water, meaning its first creation. Adam was created from clay and from water. But every human that comes after Adam, they're created from the drop of semen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our origin in that form of clay and in that form of water. But then every child that is born comes as Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed for it to come from that drop of semen.
Then Allah caused him to develop and created for him hidden and invisible faculties, such as hearing, sight, and all the other faculties that he perfected for him and made them sound, so that man could attain thereby that which is beneficial for him. Then he sent the messengers to him and sent down the books and guided him to the path that leads to him. He explained it and urged man to follow it, and told him of what he would have when he reaches Allah. Then he told him of the path that leads to doom, warned him against it, and told him of what would happen to him if he followed it, and he tested him thereby.
And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we made humans, or we gave to them hearing and sight, and we showed him the path. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal links a person's sight and their hearing to that which is most beneficial for them to use that sight and hearing in, and that is to attain guidance. Allah Azza wa Jal, from all of the blessings that Allah can mention in this verse, he mentions these two, hearing and sight, and then he says, and we showed him the path. Showed him, meaning that if he uses his sight, he uses his hearing, he will attain guidance if he is sincere.
So people are divided into two categories. Those who are grateful for the blessings that Allah bestows upon them and do the duties that Allah has enjoined upon them, and those who are ungrateful for the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon them, both spiritual and worldly. So they reject them, disbelieve in their Lord, and follow the path that leads to doom.
And those who are ungrateful are more than the grateful. And that is seen in the way that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions them in this verse, from the eloquence of the Arabic language. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, Shakiran aw kafura. In the Arabic language, when you describe something, you have different levels of extremities and different levels of eloquence. It should be Shakir kafir, or Shakur kafur. But Allah Azza wa Jal uses Shakir, which is the lesser eloquent form, and then kafur, when it comes to the ungrateful, which is the more eloquent form. And that is to show that the disbelievers, the ungrateful, will far outnumber those that are grateful to Allah Azza wa Jalla and believe. As the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned yesterday in the hadith of Adam, when he's told to extract from the portion of his children the people that will go to the fire. And Allah will say to him, from every 1,999. Or in the other wording, from every 199. And so the vast majority are kafur, and that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla uses the more eloquent word or the form of that. And that is that they are the vast majority. As for the shakirin, those people who thank Allah, grateful to Allah, they're few and far between. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions elsewhere, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Few from amongst my servants are grateful.
Then Allah describes the two groups at the time of requital, as He says, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَلَاسِلَ وَأَغْلَالًا وَسَعِيرًا. Verily we have prepared for the disbelievers chains, iron collars, and a raging fire. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. Verily the righteous will drink from a cup of wine mixed with camphor. عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. Drawn from a spring from which the slaves of Allah will drink, making it flow wherever they wish. That is, we have prepared and made ready for those who disbelieve in Allah, reject His messengers, and dare to commit sin, chains in the fire of hell. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, then bind him in a chain, the length of which is 70 cubits, iron collars, by means of which their hands are fastened to their necks, and a raging fire. That is, it will increase in flames fueled by their bodies. As often as their skins are burnt through, we will replace them with fresh skins, so that they may continue to taste the punishment. This punishment is ongoing and eternal. They will abide therein forever. As for the righteous, who are the ones whose hearts are pure because of what they contain of love of Allah and knowledge of Him, and because of their good manners, and because of their having purified themselves physically by using their faculties in doing righteous deeds, Allah tells us that they will drink from a cup of wine, that is, a delicious drink of wine mixed with camphor, to cool it down and reduce the sharpness of its taste.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is a ka's, a cup, and the author says of wine. And he mentions it is wine, even though the verse doesn't say that it is wine, because the Arabs only use the word ka's in classical Arabic to hold wine. Ka's in classical Arabic, in the Quran and the Sunnah, is only used for a vessel that holds wine. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they will be given a ka's, a cup, means a glass of wine. And so that's where he takes that tafsir from.
This camphor will be extremely delicious, free of any contamination and unpalatability, as is the case with the camphor of this world. Because whatever Allah tells us of that which is in paradise of things that have earthly counterparts, they will be free of any of the problematic elements that they have in this world. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us elsewhere, they will be amidst thornless loat trees and banana trees laden with fruit, with pure spouses. For them will be an abode of peace with their Lord. There will be therein all that souls may desire and all that eyes may delight in, drawn from a spring from which the slaves of Allah will drink. That is, they will have no fear about the delicious cup from which they will drink ever running out. For it has a source that will never end. It comes from a spring that flows constantly, and the slaves of Allah will make it flow wherever and however they wish.
As we said about the food of Jannah before, and the fruit of Jannah, and the birds of Jannah, and everything else that Allah Azza wa Jalla places in Jannah, it will come to the believers as and when they wish, as and when they demand, to their convenience. So the fact that there are flowing streams in Jannah of water and wine and all of these other drinks that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared, they don't just run as they run in the dunya in their Uqtud, or in their trenches. In the dunya, everything has its own place where it runs. The river flows where it flows, and the ocean flows where it flows, and the streams flow where they flow. In Jannah, no. And that is why some of the scholars, when they say Jannatin tajri min tahti al-anhar, gardens under which rivers flow, they often say in their tafsir, bila uqtud, that there are no banks, meaning that it's not in a trench or in something which is dug out, that it follows that line. It goes wherever it pleases, as Allah Azza wa Jal commands, and as the believers wish for. So if you are far away from that place, or you want it to come to a place to you, it will come by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command.
If they wish, they will be able to direct it towards beautiful gardens full of blossoms, or make it run between the palaces and adorned dwellings, or in any direction they want.
يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا.
They fulfill their vows and fear a day, the evil of which will be widespread.
ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا.
And they give food, despite their love for it, to the needy orphans and captives.
إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا.
Saying, we only feed you for the sake of Allah. We seek of you neither recompense nor thanks.
إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا.
Verily we fear from our Lord a grim and awful day. Here Allah tells us about some of their deeds.
The deeds of the righteous. So Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the righteous first in terms of their reward and in terms of what Allah will give to them in Jannah. And now Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to us some of their attributes and some of their characteristics and actions.
They fulfill their vows. That is, they fulfill what they commit themselves to for the sake of Allah. If they fulfill vows which are not obligatory upon them, unless they take that upon themselves, it is more likely that they will fulfill their commitment to basic obligatory duties.
So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon them, that is them fulfilling their vows. Let alone, the author says, that which they voluntarily make of vows. Because there are vows that Allah azza wa jalla has taken from all of us, a pledge that all of us have made in terms of His worship and fulfilling the obligations and so on. And then there are voluntary vows that you place upon yourself. Someone says, I vow that I will fast 3 days outside of Ramadan. I vow that I will give such an amount in charity. I vow that I will go to Umrah. These are vows that are optional. Allah didn't make them obligatory upon you. But those who are likely to fulfill their obligations are then likely to fulfill that which they obligate upon themselves.
And fear a day, the evil of which will be widespread. That is, it will spread and reach everywhere. So they fear that its evil may reach them. Therefore, they avoid everything that may lead to that. And they give food despite their love for it. That is, although they love wealth and food, they give precedence to love of Allah over love of themselves. And they try to give their food to those who are most deserving and most in need of it, the needy, orphans, and captives.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they give their food despite their love for it. Some of the scholars of tafsir took this position, that the meaning is that despite their need and their love for that food, they will give it to others. Another said it means that they give the best of the food, meaning from the food that they love most. They give that to those people that are needy. I mean, they don't just give them anything or the leftovers. No, they give to them the best of their food. As we mentioned in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when the angels came to him in the form of men, he took the best of what he had. And that is what he presented to his guests. And that is the way that you honor the people that you should honor. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla praises these people because these are not guests, but who they give it to are the people that usually often you see, people just give things that they don't need to. Old stuff that's no longer of use. Those are the things that people usually donate. Allah Azza wa Jalla praises these people because they give the best of what they have to the orphans and to the needy and to the captives. Captives are prisoners of war, meaning they're not even Muslims. These are prisoners that you've taken from your enemy, and they have some responsibility also over you, some rights over you. So from those rights is that you look after them in the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded, and so they give to them also in a way that is befitting to them.
By spending and feeding others, they seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, implicitly saying, we feed you only for the sake of Allah. We seek of you neither recompense nor thanks. That is, we seek neither financial recompense nor verbal praise. Verily, we fear from our Lord a grim that is very hard and evil and awful, that is stressful and miserable day.
And this is one of the verses that shows something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stressed and repeated a number of times in the Sunnah. And that is the virtue and the reward of feeding others. It is one of the first things that the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to Medina, at'imu at'am, feed people, give people food. It is something which increases love, it is something which increases brotherhood, it is something which increases passion and mercy, compassion and mercy amongst people, because people love food naturally. So when you gift from food and you give them something, as the Prophet used to say to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, my Khalil sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Dharr said, he told me to do a number of things. From them is that if you cook, add extra water into your food or extra broth into your food and give it to your neighbors. Or you have a little of, make it some more and give it to those people that are around you. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, based on this verse, it is said, and verses similar to it in a hadith, that he wouldn't break his fast unless there were poor people with him. Refused to break his fast. And if he came home and there was no poor people and it was time for iftar, he would take the food and he would go and search for them. And then he would find them and he would break his fast with them. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla loves those people who feed others.
فَوَقَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَرَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَلَقَّاهُمْ نَضْرَةً وَسُرُورًا.
Therefore, Allah will protect them from the evil of that day and will bestow upon them radiance and joy.
وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا.
And will reward them for their patience and steadfastness with paradise and garments of silk.
متكئين فيها على الأرائك لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا.
Wherein they will recline on couches, they will feel neither scorching heat nor bitter cold. Therefore, Allah will protect them from the evil of that day. So the greatest terror will not grieve them, and the angels will welcome them, saying, "This is your day that you were promised." And will bestow upon them, that is, he will honor them and give them radiance in their faces and joy in their hearts, thus combining both outward and inward bliss, and will reward them for their patience and steadfastness in obeying Allah, for they strove as much as they could in avoiding disobedience towards Allah, so they refrained from sin and in accepting the painful decrees of Allah, so they did not complain about them, with paradise that contains all bliss and is free of all troubles and problems, and garments of silk. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, and their garments therein will be of silk. Perhaps Allah singled out silk for mention because their outward dress will be indicative of the condition of the wearer, wherein they will recline on couches. Reclining means sitting comfortably with ease and in a relaxed manner. The word translated here as couches refers to couches covered with adorned cloths. They will feel in paradise neither scorching heat that would cause them harm nor bitter cold. At all times they will be in shade with no heat or cold, so that they may feel physical enjoyment with no pain or discomfort caused by heat or cold.
وَدَانِيَةً عَلَيْهِمْ ظِلَالُهَا وَذُلِّلَتْ قُطُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا.
Its shady branches will come down low over them, and its clusters of fruit will hang within easy reach. That is, its fruits will be near at hand for anyone who wants them, so that he may take them whether he is standing, sitting, or lying on his side.
And this meaning is also this meaning of the ease of the food and the provision of the people of Jannah is repeated a number of times in the Sunnah. From them is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if the birds of Jannah are flying and a person wishes for them, he will simply call towards one and it will come to him as food by Allah's command. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the man who wants to plant in Jannah, that he will plant his seed and the seed will grow and he will harvest it all within a single moment, if that is something which he desires. So that which the people wish to do in Jannah or wish to take in Jannah, Allah will make it easy for them. None of the hard work, none of the waiting, none of the time, none of the anxiety and the stress that went into those things in the dunya, they will all be removed from them and there will only be ease and comfort.
ويطاف عليهم بآنية من فضة وأكواب كانت قواريرا.
Vessels of silver and goblets of crystal will be passed around among them.
قوارير من فضة قدروها تقديرا.
Crystal clear, made of silver, filled to exact measure. There will be passed around them, around among the people of paradise by their servants, vessels of silver and goblets of crystal, crystal clear made of silver. That is, they will be made of silver, but they will be as clear as crystal. This is something most amazing, that something as dense and opaque as silver will be as clear as crystal because it is so pure, filled to exact measure. They will be filled to the exact measure as desired by the people of paradise, the amount that will be most pleasing to them. So it will come to them exactly as they thought of it in their minds.
And this is, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the blessings of the people of Jannah down to the smallest detail, to the smallest, most intricate detail, even the amount of drink that they want in their vessels and their cup, it will be measured according to their desires, without them having to speak, without them having to request, Like when you go to someone's home and they give you a glass of water or some juice and you're like, no, no, a bit more, no, no, a bit less, no, that's too much, no, that's too little. Have to keep going over and over again because no one knows what other people's preferences are. But in Jannah, قَدَّرُوهَا تَقْدِيرًا. Even the measurements of Jannah are precise. The measurements are perfect because it is all part of the bliss of Jannah. So even the smallest of details and those things that most of us wouldn't even think in terms of blessings, those are counted in Jannah because it is not just about the food and the clothing and even the manner in which it is given and the amount in which it is given. Everything Allah Azza wa Jalla will make perfect bliss.
وَيُسْقَوْنَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زَنْجَبِيلًا. Therein they will be given to drink a cup of wine mixed with ginger. عَيْنًا فِيهَا تُسَمَّى سَلْسَبِيلًا. Drawn from a spring therein called Salsabil. Therein, in paradise, they will be given to drink a cup of wine and nectar mixed with ginger to make its taste and scent good. Drawn from a spring therein in paradise called Salsabil. It is called this because it is palatable, delicious, and wholesome.
Salsabil, because it is soft and it is palatable. In the Arabic language, Salsabil is something which is easy, goes down easily. And that's why a path in the Arabic language is called a Sabil, because it's easy to walk on, it's been trodden on before. So this is a spring that Allah Azza wa Jalla will place in Jannah for its people. That its water or its drink, whatever it may be, will be something which is extremely delicious to its drinkers.
وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. Immortal servant boys will circulate among them. If you saw them, you would think they were scattered pearls. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. And if you were to look there, paradise, you would see bliss and a vast domain. Immortal servant boys who are created in paradise to remain therein, they will never change or grow old, and they are very handsome.
And therefore the people of Jannah don't need to serve one another. Your wife no longer has to serve you in Jannah. Your children don't have to come and look after you in Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jalla will create for you servant boys, wildan, mukhalladun, the immortal. They never age, they never become tired. It is their job. Allah Azza wa Jalla will create them for this purpose, that they will serve the people of Jannah so that no one has to serve another or no one has to wait on another or no one has to help another. Allah Azza wa Jalla will create for them servants that will become part of their households, just as Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to the believing men hurul ain. That Allah will create for them and make for them, and they will also be from their household.
Will circulate among them, that is, among the people of paradise, with their food and drink to serve them. If you saw them spreading out to serve the people, you would think, because of their beauty, that they were scattered pearls. This is a part of the pleasure of the people of paradise, that their servants will be immortal boys who are a pleasure to look at. They will enter their houses in complete safety and will bring whatever they ask for and want. And if you were to look there, paradise, and you observe the bliss in which they live, you would see bliss and a vast domain. You would see that one of them possesses palaces, dwellings, and chambers that are adorned and decorated in a manner that can barely be described. He will have blooming gardens, delicious fruits, hanging within easy reach, flowing rivers, amazing gardens, and birds that sing in an enchanting manner, such as movies, the heart, and such as moves the heart and brings joy to the soul. He will have wives who are extremely beautiful and kind, combining inner and outer beauty, such as fills the heart with joy and brings great pleasure and delight. Around him will be immortal boys and eternal servants, bringing ease and comfort. Thus they will enjoy a life of complete pleasure and perfect joy.
Allah Azza wa Jalla describes for each person in Jannah, وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. They will have their own kingdom. There are hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a person will look out upon their kingdom and it will stretch beyond their imagination. If they wanted to ride to it, they could go to it. But in terms of our length, it is hundreds of years long in terms of being able to go one side of that kingdom to another. That is for every person. And just look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the last man who will enter into Jannah, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, that when he enters into Jannah, Allah says, for you is everything in the dunya and double its amount. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu said, O Abu Hurairah, I heard the same hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but I heard him say, for you is the dunya and 10 times its amount. And that's the least of the people of Jannah. That's his kingdom. 10 times like the dunya, how long does it take you to walk or to travel the whole dunya? 10 times it's like That's the least of the people of Jannah. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla says for every one of them, mulkan kabira, a vast kingdom, a kingdom beyond your imagination. So whether it's wealth you want, whether it's blessings you want, whether it's kingdom or power that you want, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to the people of Jannah that which they will have in the best of forms.
Over and above all that will be the greatest joy of seeing the Most Merciful Lord, hearing His words, delighting in closeness to Him, and rejoicing in attaining His pleasure and eternal life that constantly increases in bliss at every moment.
And that is the greatest of the joys of the believer. Just as in this world, the greatest joy of the believer is to worship their Lord, to prostrate before Him, to make dua to Him, to seek closeness to Him. Then on Yawm al-Qiyamah in Jannah, the greatest of reward that they will be given is likewise to see closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, that the people of Jannah, Allah will come to them and He will say, shall I give you more? And they will say, oh Allah, what more is there to give? Have you not saved us from the fire and given us Jannah? Have you not given us everything that we want and can possibly need? Allah Azza wa Jal said, but I will give to you my pleasure. Never again will I be angry upon you. The Prophet said, never will the people of Jannah have been given a blessing greater than that blessing. Because that is the ultimate closeness. That someone says to you, doesn't matter what you do now, I will always be pleased with you, always love you. You can never upset me. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will give that reward to the people of Jannah. May Allah make us from them.
Glory be to the Sovereign Lord, the clear truth, whose stores never run out and whose generosity never decreases. Just as there is no end to his attributes, there is no end to His kindness and generosity. عليهم ثياب سندس خضر واستبرق وحلوا أساور من فضة وسقاهم ربهم شرابا طهورا. They will wear green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade, and will be adorned with bracelets of silver, and their Lord will give them to drink a pure beverage. They will wear green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade. That is, they will be covered in green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade, which are the finest types of silk, and will be adorned with bracelets of silver. That is, they will wear bracelets of silver on their arms, both males and females. This is a promise that Allah has made to them, and His promise will come to pass, because no one is truer in speech or in word than Him. And their Lord will give them to drink a pure beverage, that is one in which there is no impurity or contamination. It will cleanse their hearts of all hurt and pain. إن هذا كان لكم جزاء وكان سعيكم مشكورا. It will be said to them, this is your reward, for your endeavors are appreciated. It will be said to them, this is your reward. That is, this great reward and beautiful gift is yours, for what you sent on ahead of good deeds, for your endeavors are appreciated. That is, for a little effort, Allah has granted you eternal bliss that cannot be enumerated.
How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises these blessings to the people of Jannah and to the believers in the dunya if they stay upon the path of Tawheed and the path of righteous deeds. Look at how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite this surah every single Friday in the Fajr Salah of the Friday as a reminder to people, because believers need reminding of what it is that they're doing and why they're doing it and what is their objective and what they hope to achieve by Allah's permission. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to choose these surahs that speak about Jannah, that speak about Qiyamah, that remind people of the standing before Allah Azza wa Jal, because it's something which reminds you, motivates you, something which encourages you. Look at these beautiful descriptions of Jannah. Aren't they worthy of being read once a week, every week, that you remind yourself, this is what I pray for, this is why I give zakat, this is what I do, this is why I do the halal and stay away from the haram, this is why I obey Allah Azza wa Jal, this is why I sacrifice, this is why I leave my temptations and desires. It is for these rewards that we want to be from amongst those people.
إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ تَنْزِيلًا. Verily, it is we who have sent down the Qur'an to you piecemeal. Having mentioned the bliss of paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, verily, it is we who have sent down the Qur'an to you piecemeal, which contains a promise and a warning and an explanation of all that people need to know. It contains instructions to comply with Allah's commands and laws in the most perfect manner, to strive to implement them, and to be patient and steadfast in doing so. Hence Allah says, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا. So be patient with the decree of your Lord, and do not yield to any sinner or disbeliever among them. That is, be patient in accepting the decree of Allah without complaining about it, and in accepting His religious rulings, and comply with them, and do not let any obstacle prevent you from doing so, and do not yield to anyone among the stubborn who want to bar you from His path. To any sinner, that is, one who commits sin and does acts of disobedience, or disbeliever, for yielding to the disbelievers, evildoers, and mischief makers will inevitably have to do with sin, for they do not enjoin anything but what they themselves desire. وَاذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. And remember the name of your Lord morning and afternoon. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. And during the night, prostrate to Him and glorify Him a long part of the night. Because patience would help him to worship Allah and remember Him a great deal, Allah enjoined that upon him and said, and remember the name of your Lord morning and afternoon. That is, at the beginning and end of the day, which includes the obligatory prayers and what accompanies them of supererogatory prayers, as well as dhikr, remembering Allah, glorifying Allah, proclaiming His oneness and magnifying Him at those times. And during the night, prostrate to Him. That is, prostrate to Him a great deal. And that can only be done by offering a lot of prayers.
Look at how Allah Azza wa Jalla, as has been repeated in Surah Al-Muzzammil, Surah Al-Muddathir, now again in Surah Al-Insan, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that in order for you to attain these rewards of Jannah, you have to be patient. Patient in the dunya, patient upon Allah's decrees, patient upon tests and trials. What will help you to attain that patience? Two things that Allah Azza wa Jalla always mentions. Number one is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His remembrance. And number two is the salah, and especially the salah of the night. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ. Spend the night, some of it, awake in prayer. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said to the Prophet and the companions, as you mentioned at the end of Surah Al-Muzzammil.
And glorify Him a long part of the night. We have seen above a specific mention of the length of time, which is referred to here in general terms. O you who are enwrapped in garments, stand up in prayer throughout the night, except a little. إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةَ وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. Verily these disbelievers love this present life and pay no heed to a day that will be arduous. Verily these disbelievers who reject you, O Messenger, after you explained the revelations to them and after they received promises and warnings, yet they did not benefit from that at all. Rather, they continued to give precedence to this present life and remain content with it. And they pay no heed. That is, they fail to strive and they neglect a day that will be arduous, namely the day of resurrection, the length of which is 50,000 years, according to your reckoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, the disbelievers will say, this will be a hard day. So it is as if they were only created for this world, to settle in it. Then Allah gives them rational evidence for the resurrection, which is the evidence of their initial creation. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاهُمْ وَشَدَدَنَا أَسْرَهُمْ وَإِذَا شِئْنَا بَدَّلْنَا أَمْثَالَهُمْ تَبَدِيلًا. It is we who created them and made them strong. If we so willed, we could replace them completely with others like them. It is we who created them from nothing and made them strong. That is, we made them strong and perfected their creation with sinews, veins, arteries, and visible and hidden strengths until their bodies were perfected and completed and they were able to do anything they wanted. The one who created them in this manner is able to recreate them after their death in order to requite them, and it is not appropriate that the one who caused them to pass through these stages would leave them unchecked, with no commands or prohibitions, no reward or punishment. Hence he says, if we so willed, we could replace them completely with others like them. That is, we could resurrect them in a different form or recreate them exactly. إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَةً فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. Verily, this is a reminder. So let him who will start his journey towards his Lord. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. But you cannot will it unless Allah so wills. Verily, Allah is all-knowing, most wise. يدخل من يشاء في رحمته والظالمين أعد لهم عذابا أليما. He admits whoever he wills to his mercy, and for the wrongdoers he has prepared a painful punishment. Verily, this is a reminder. That is to remind the believer so that he may benefit from what it contains of warnings and encouragement. So let him who will start his journey towards his Lord. That is, let him follow a path that leads to him, for Allah explains the truth and guidance. Then he gives people the choice between following that guidance or turning away from it, whilst establishing proof against them. But you cannot will it unless Allah so wills, for Allah's will is always done. Verily, Allah is all-knowing, most wise. He is possessed of great wisdom with regard to those whom he guides and those whom he leaves to stray. He admits whomever he wills to his mercy, and he bestows his care upon him and guides him to the means and paths that lead to bliss. And for the wrongdoers who choose doom over guidance, he has prepared a painful punishment because of their wrongdoing and transgression. This is the end of the commentary of Surah Al-Insan. All praise and thanks are for Allah, and may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions abundantly until the Day of Judgment.
We now come to the tafsir of the 77th surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Mursalat, and it is known by this name in the books of tafsir and the narrations of the companions and in the hadith, Al-Mursalat or Wal-Mursalat. And it is a Makki surah according to the majority of the scholars of Islam, such as Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud from the companions, and those who followed them, such as Al-Qurtubi ibn Atiyah and others. And it consists of 50 verses.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفًا. By those sent forth with beneficence. فَالْعَاصِفَاتِ عَصْفًا. And those that strike violently. وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرًا. By those who scatter far and wide. فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقًا. And those angels who bring criterion. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا. By those who deliver a reminder. عُذْرًا أَوْ نُذْرًا. Leaving no excuse and giving warning. إِنَّمَا تُوَعَدُونَ لَوَاقِعًا. What you are promised will surely come to pass. فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ طُمِسَتْ. So when the stars are extinguished. وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ. And when the sky is torn apart. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُسِفَتْ. And when the mountains are scattered like dust. وَإِذَا الرُّسُلُ أُقِّتَتْ. And when the messengers are summoned. لِأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجِّلَتْ. Until what day have these events been deferred? لِيَوْمِ الْفَصْلِ. Until the Day of Judgment. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ. And how could you know what the Day of Judgment is? وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe that day to the deniers. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attests to the resurrection and requital for deeds by means of an oath, swearing by those sent forth with beneficence. Namely, the angels whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to carry out his decrees and control the universe, and to convey his religious decree by bringing his revelation to his messengers.
What we find in the beginning of this surah is something which is commonly found in the Quran, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often takes an oath by his creations by using their descriptions and their attributes and not naming them. Many surahs are like this: Surah As-Safat, Surah Mursalat, Surah Al-Adiyat. Allah describes creation, but he doesn't mention what it is. What is the creation that Allah is describing? Allah doesn't say angels here. Allah doesn't say if they're angels in Surah Safat. Allah doesn't say horses or camels in Surah Al-Adiyat. Allah doesn't name them. Allah gives you descriptions of these creations. And that is why often you will find different positions amongst the scholars of tafsir as to what is being referred to. In this particular surah, when Allah Azza wa Jalla describes at the beginning of these verses certain attributes and characteristics, who is Allah Azza wa Jalla describing? Which creation? The position of a number of the companions such as Ibn Mas'ud and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the position that is chosen by the author and before him the likes of Al-Tabari and others, is that it's the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're the ones that come with good, they're the ones that come by Allah's permission with violence and punishment, they're the ones that do as Allah commands. The other position amongst the scholars of tafsir that you will find chosen by the likes of Ibn Kathir and the teacher of our teacher, Sheikh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahumullah, is that it is the wind that Allah is describing. Allah is describing the wind and not the angels. And both of them are possible because these descriptions apply to both. And so the position of the scholars of tafsir is that if it can be both, both are signs from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The angels are a major sign of Allah. The wind and the way that it comes sometimes with mercy and sometimes with punishment is also from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
With beneficent, this describes those who are sent forth. What is meant is that they are sent forth with what is right, with wisdom and with that which is in people's best interest. They are not sent with anything bad or in vain. And those that strike violently. This also refers to the angels whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends and whom he describes as hastening to do as he commands, quickly carrying out his commands like a strong wind. This may also refer to powerful winds that have strong gusts.
And this is something which we just mentioned. And one of the nice things about this tafsir is that the author, if he finds amongst the Salaf that they differed over something, both positions are strong. You have companions and tabi'een that said both. He always mentions both, as we've seen. He'll choose his position that he thinks is the stronger one. But he say, and he may also refer to, because you have scholars, of major scholars of tafsir that took that position from amongst the early Salaf. And as we said, often you can make a reconciliation because the descriptions apply to both. And so we can say that Allah Azza wa Jalla is describing angels and he's also describing the wind, and Allah knows best.
By those who scatter far and wide, it may be that this refers to the angels who scatter what they are meant to scatter. The word translated as scatter may also mean revive, in which case it may refer to the clouds by means of which Allah revives the earth and brings it back to life after its death. By those who deliver a reminder, this refers to the angels who bring down the most sublime of commands, namely the reminder, revelation, by means of which Allah bestows mercy upon his slaves and reminds them of that which will benefit them and is in their best interest. Those angels bring it down to the messengers, leaving no excuse and giving warning to people. They warn people of what lies ahead of frightening things and leave them no excuse so that they will have no argument before Allah. What you are promised of the resurrection and requital for deeds will surely come to pass. That is, it is inevitable beyond any shadow of a doubt. When it comes to pass, there will be changes in the universe and immense horror that will be extremely alarming and will cause great distress. The stars will be extinguished. That is, they will be scattered and moved from their places. The mountains will be blown away and will become like scattered dust, and they and the earth will become a smooth, leveled plain in which you will see no depression or elevation. That day is the day on which the messengers will be summoned, the day until which judgment between them and their nations is deferred. Hence Allah says, until what day have these events been deferred? This appears in the form of a question in order to highlight the gravity and seriousness of the matter. Then Allah answers that question by saying, until the day of judgment, between all creatures, between one and another, and the day of reckoning for each of them individually.
From the names of the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, is Yawm al-Fasl. And al-Fasl in the Arabic language means to distinguish and to discern. And so the translation here, until the day of judgment, isn't the correct translation. It's the meaning, obviously, because Allah is referring to the day of judgment. But the day of al-Fasl is the day of distinguishing. And that's why the author says to distinguish between all creatures, between one and another, and the day of reckoning for each of them individually. Because on that day, Allah will distinguish between the believers and the disbelievers. And so it is from the names of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Yawm al-Fasl.
Then he warns those who deny in that day, woe that day to the deniers. That is, how great will be their loss, how severe their punishment, and how terrible their end. Allah told them of it and swore to them that it would surely come, but they did not believe him. Therefore, they will deserve the severe punishment.
And this verse, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَ إِذِلِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe that day to the deniers, is repeated a number of times in this surah. And as we mentioned before, it is a principle of the Quran that if something is repeated a number of times in the surah, it is important to draw attention to it, meaning that there will be no severe or greater loss than the loss experienced by these people, the disbelievers on the day of judgment, when they will see the reality of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the scholars used to pair this surah with Surah Ar-Rahman, because Surah Ar-Rahman speaks about Allah's blessings. And the verse is repeated over and over again, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which of Allah's favors will you deny, Allah's grace and bounty upon you? And here, in Mursalat, the opposite, warning, woe to those who deny, woe to those who reject and disbelieve.
أَلَمْ نُهْلِكِ الْأَوَّلِينَ, did we not destroy the earlier disbelieving nations? ثُمَّ نُتْبِعُهُمُ الْآخِرِينَ And we will do likewise to later ones. كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ Thus we deal with the evildoers. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ Woe that day to the deniers. Did we not destroy the earlier disbelieving nations? That is, did we not destroy the earlier disbelievers? And we will follow that with the destruction of those among the later nations who disbelieve. This is his way of dealing with the earlier and later generations. Every evildoer is inevitably punished, so why do they not learn from what they see and hear? Woe that day to the deniers, who denied the truth after they saw the clear signs and exemplary punishments. أَلَمْ نَخْلُقْ من ماء مهين Did we not create you from an insignificant fluid? فجعلناه في قرار مكين Which we placed in a safe repository إلى قدر معلوم For an appointed term فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ For we are able to do this, how excellent is our power. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ Woe that day to the deniers. That is, do they not create you, O humans, from an insignificant fluid, that is, one that is regarded as very base, that originates from between the backbone and the ribs, until Allah places it in a safe repository, namely the womb, where it settles and grows for an appointed term and a set length of time. For we are able to do this, and we care for that fetus in those layers of darkness, transforming it from a drop of semen to a clinging clot to a lump of flesh until Allah makes it a fully developed body. Then he breathes the soul into it, and some of them die before that. How excellent is our power that operates in accordance with his wisdom. Woe that day to the deniers, who deny the truth after Allah has explained the signs to them and shown them lessons and clear proof. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا Have we not made the earth a receptacle? أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا For the living and the dead. وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ شَامِخَاتٍ وَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمْ مَاءً فُرَاتًا And set therein lofty mountains, standing firm and given you fresh water to drink. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ Woe that day to the deniers. That is, have we not blessed you and bestowed favors upon you by subjugating the earth in your best interests? Therefore, we made it a receptacle for you, for the living in houses and the dead in graves.
Meaning that it is a place that holds you either in life upon the face of the earth or in death within the earth. It is a place that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made to hold you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, we created you from it. We shall return you to it and we shall resurrect you from it once again. And look at how Allah Azza wa Jalla, after he speaks about the loss that they will face, the disbelievers on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives them proof after proof. He begins with the destruction of the past nations. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the creation of humans. And now Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about the signs of his creation of the universe.
As houses and palaces are among the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon his slaves, graves are in like manner. A mercy to them and a covering for them, lest their bodies be exposed to wild animals and the like, and set therein lofty mountains standing firm, that is, mountains that make the earth firm, lest it shake with its people. Allah has made it steady by means of high mountains that stand firm, and given you fresh water to drink, that is, water that is sweet and palatable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, have you thought about the water that you drink? Is it you who bring it down from the sky, from the clouds, or is it we who send it down? If we so willed, we could make it salty and bitter. Why then do you not give thanks? Woe that day to the deniers, who despite all that Allah has shown them of blessings and that are bestowed by Allah alone, for which he singled them out, responded with denial and rejection.
انطلقوا إلى ما كنتم به تكذبون.
It will be said to them, proceed that to that which you used to deny.
انطلقوا إلى ظل ذي ثلاث شعب.
proceed to a shadow of smoke ascending in three columns.
لا ظليل ولا يغني من اللهب.
That offers no shade or protection from the flames.
إنها ترمي بشرر كالقصر.
Verily, hell throws out sparks as big as castles.
كأنه جمالة صفر.
As if they were a herd of tawny camels.
ويل يومئذ للمكذبين.
Woe that day to the deniers. This is part of the fate that has been prepared for the evildoers and deniers. It will be said to them on the day of resurrection, proceed to that which you used to deny. Then Allah explains that by saying, proceed to a shadow of smoke ascending in three columns. That is, proceed to a shadow of the fire of hell, which will separate into three columns. It will have pieces of fire thrown into it, running through it and uniting with it. That offers no shade. That is, that shade will offer no comfort and bring no ease or protection from the flames. That is, that shadow will offer no protection from the flames. Rather, flames will surround people on all sides, right and left. This is like the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will have layers of fire above them and beneath them. And they will have a bed of fire of hellfire, and over them will be the coverings of fire. Thus we requite the wrongdoers.
This is something which we find often in the description of the people of the fire, that Allah Azza wa Jalla in one place denies something for them, in another place affirms something for them. In this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla denies that the people of the fire will have shade. But in the verse in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah says that they will have levels of shade above them, levels of shade below them. So how do we reconcile between the two? Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He speaks about the or negates certain things from the people of the fire, then affirms it from them. Allah Azza wa Jalla, what He's negating is negating the positive aspects of it, the beneficial aspects of it. So shade is normally something which people consider to be beneficial. You seek shade because it's hot or because it's the sun. And so there's positivity in seeking shade. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla affirms shade for the people of Jannah, as we just mentioned in Surah Al-Insan. When Allah Azza wa Jalla denies it for the people of the fire, it means that the shade that they will be given is shade that will not benefit them. Shade that has no meaning of the word shade, except that we use the term only. So there is no good, no benefit, because their shade is fire. So if it is fire that is shading them, then that shade is nothing except more destruction and more torment for them. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla often does this in the Quran, that they will have no food in the fire. But then Allah says they will be given food. Yes, they will be given food, but food that has no nourishment, doesn't satisfy hunger, doesn't benefit them. So in terms of food, it is just something which is given to them that they're made to swallow, doesn't benefit them in the way that food would. So this is something which you often find in the description of the people of the fire. That is how you reconcile. Allah denies, Allah affirms. What is affirming is not in the way that we would understand otherwise, with no benefit, no good, no bliss, no blessing in it.
Then Allah mentions the great size of the sparks of hell, which is indicative of its huge size, terrible nature and horrifying appearance. Verily, hell throws out sparks as big as castles, as if they were a herd of tawny camels. The word translated here as tawny refers to a black color with a hint of yellow.
The word sufar in the Arabic language, or asfar, when it's used to describe people, is often, or animals, for example, is often means very dark, with a tint of yellowness, meaning it is such a dark yellow that it's almost black. And so the Arabs often describe it as being sufar, as is mentioned in the Quran. So it doesn't mean yellow, as in the way that we would consider a bright yellow, but it means such a pitch dark yellow that it's almost black. That is what the Arabs called sufar.
This indicates that the flames, coals, and sparks of hell are dark, and that it is black, terrible in appearance and extremely hot. We ask Allah to keep us safe from it and from the deeds that would bring us close to it. Woe that day to the deniers.
هذا يوم لا ينطقون.
This is a day on which they will not speak.
ولا يؤذن لهم فيعتذرون.
Nor will they be permitted to offer excuses.
ويل يومئذ للمكذبين.
Woe that day to the deniers.
هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين.
It will be said to them, this is the day of judgment. You have been gathered together with those of old.
فإن كان لكم كيد فكيدون.
So if you have any stratagem, try to outwit me. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Oh, that day to the deniers. This is a day on which they will not speak. That is, this is a momentous day that is difficult for the deniers. They will not speak on that day out of intense fear and dread.
This is similar to what we just mentioned. Allah Azza wa Jalla denies for them speech in this verse. They won't speak on that day. But in many other verses in the Quran, Allah tells us that they will speak. That the disbelievers speak and they speak to Allah Azza wa Jalla and they ask Allah and they request of Allah. So again, how do you reconcile? One position amongst the scholars of Islam is that this is maqam duna maqam. These are different verses about different people of the fire. Not all of the people of the fire, one and the same. So some of them will speak, some of them will not be allowed to speak. That's one position. And the second position is what we just mentioned about the shade, that their speech will have no benefit, their words will have no benefit. So their words, even though they speak, they may as well not speak because it carries no benefit and Allah knows best.
Nor will they be permitted to offer excuses. That is, their excuses will not be acceptable. Their excuses will not be accepted from them even if they offer them. On that day, no excuse will benefit those who did wrong, nor will they be allowed to make amends. It will be said to them, this is the day of judgment. You have been gathered together with those of old, so that we may pass judgment among you and judge between all people. So if you have any stratagem by which you can escape my dominion and be safe from my punishment, try to outwit me. But you have no power or authority. This is like the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O jinn and humans, if you are able to pass beyond the confines of the heavens and the earth, then do so. But you cannot pass beyond them unless you have power.
As we mentioned in the tafsir of Surah Ar-Rahman, this verse, some of the scholars or a number of the scholars said it's about the day of judgment, that Allah will say to the humans and jinn, then if you can escape from my kingdom, my universe, now is the day to do it. Go and find a place where Allah's power can't reach you, Allah's punishment can't find you. And so they will have nowhere that they can go and escape on that day.
On that day, all efforts of the wrongdoers will be to no avail, and their stratagems and schemes will fail. They will submit to the punishment of Allah, and it will become clear to them that they were lying in their denial. Woe that day to the deniers.
إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونَ.
Verily, the righteous will be amidst shade and springs. وَفَوَاكِهَ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, and will have any fruits that they may desire.
كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
It will be said to them, eat and drink with enjoyment as a reward for your deeds.
إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
Thus do we reward those who do good.
وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ.
Woe that day to the deniers. Having mentioned the punishment of the disbelievers, Allah now mentions the reward of those who did good. Verily, the righteous who did not deny the truth and who were believers in word and deed, they cannot be like that unless they do that which is obligatory and refrain from that which is prohibited, will be amidst shade, that is, with a lot of various elegant, beautiful trees and springs flowing freely of wine mixed with ginger, nectar, and so on, and will have any fruits that they may desire of the best and most wholesome types of fruits. And it will be said to them, eat and drink of delicious food and drink with enjoyment, that is, without any kind of trouble to spoil it. Enjoyment cannot be complete unless the food and drink is free of all faults and defects, and until one is certain that it will never end and never cease, as a reward for your deeds. For your deeds are the reason that brought you to this eternal bliss. This is for everyone who did well in worshipping Allah and treated the slaves of Allah kindly. Hence he says, thus do we reward those who do good. Woe that day to the deniers. If nothing resulted from that woe except being deprived of this blessing, that would be sufficient deprivation and loss.
كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ.
Eat and enjoy yourselves for a little while, evildoers that you are.
وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ.
Woe that day to the deniers.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ.
When it is said to them, bow in prayer, they do not bow.
وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ.
Woe that day to the deniers.
فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون.
In what message after this Quran will they then believe? This is a threat and a warning to the deniers that even if they eat, drink, and enjoy the pleasures in this world, but they neglect acts of worship, they are evildoers who deserve the punishment of evildoers. So their pleasures will cease, and they will suffer the consequences. Part of their evil doing is that when they were enjoined to pray, which is one of the noblest acts of worship, and it was said to them, bow in prayer, they refused to do so. What evil doing can be worse than this? What denial can be greater than this?
Look at how, as we mentioned before, if you were to gather these verses about the people of the fire and the reason why they're thrown into the fire, and when they're asked, why are you in the fire, you will see that one of the most consistent reasons that are given in the Quran is their lack of salah, that they weren't from the people of prayer. And as we said before, they were disbelievers. So Allah Azza wa Jalla they don't have to pray. They don't have tawheed. Even if they prayed, it wouldn't benefit them. However, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this to show the importance of the salah, that as a result of their shirk, they left many of the great acts of worship. So therefore, for the people of Islam who are Muslims, who do believe, to neglect the prayer, it is one of the gravest and worst of sins. And that's why, as we said, it was the position of a number of the companions and a number of the Salaf that those people leave the fold of Islam, because they took all of these verses together. How many times did Allah say, they don't pray, they don't pray, they don't pray? Then the Muslim comes and he doesn't pray and he says, I'm not from amongst them. Allah doesn't repeat this for no reason, over and over again. Not from the people of prayer, not from the people of prayer. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions it again, that these were people who, when they were commanded to pray, they wouldn't pray. Make sujood, they wouldn't make sujood. Make rukur, they don't make rukur. Every command that they're given, they don't obey.
Woe that day to the deniers. Part of that woe is that the door of divine help and guidance is closed to them, and they are deprived of all good. If they reject this holy Quran, which is the highest level of credibility and certainty, then in what message after this Quran will they then believe? Will they believe in falsehood on which no specious argument can be based, let alone any sound evidence? Or will they believe in the words of every lying polytheist and blatant liar and blatant sinner? There can be nothing after clear light except deep darkness, and nothing after truth to the credibility of which all proof and evidence testify, except blatant lies and clear fabrication that are not appropriate for anyone except one who is in harmony with them. May they perish. How blind they are, and how lost and doomed they are. We ask Allah to pardon us and grant us well-being. This is the end of the commentary of Surah Al-Mursalat. All praise and thanks are for Allah, and may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his family and his companions abundantly until the Day of Judgment.
With that, we come to the end of the tafsir of Surah Al-Mursalat and the end of today's lesson. Barakallahu feekum wa salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.